It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thanks a lot for joining me here on KETR. You know, we try to cover a different topic every week, something to do with hunting or fishing. We were talking with Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, here a week or so back. I want to tell you about a very interesting lady that I recently met. Now, you know, if you read my newspaper columns in the Greenville Herald, Banner, and the other newspapers, you know that I dearly love going down to Lake Caddo, fishing down there. And I was down there doing a newspaper article, which you can probably read right now in the Greenville Herald Banner for one paper on Billy Carter. We were fishing for yellow bass and crappie. We caught a ton of them. But while I was there in Jefferson, I met a very, very interesting lady, Miss Mary Rose. Now, Mary runs a guide service not on Lake Caddo, but she fishes the Big Cypress River bio down there. I call it bio because we had pecan bio down from Clarksville, where I was raised out in the country, but bayou. Mary, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling.
Well, I think one thing that our listeners are going to really enjoy is hearing about a different type of fishing. Now, folks up in Northeast Texas are listening to us all over, but everybody goes to Jefferson for a getaway, and your fishing, Mary, takes place from, if you've ever been to Jefferson, right there at the bridge, down toward Caddo. That's the section of the river that you fish, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's the old steamboat route, and they dredged it out during the 1800s, and it's deep from Jefferson down toward Caddo. And it has a lot of good fishing in it. There's some big apps and channel and blue, crappie, a lot of brim, goggle eyes. We've got grinnell, pike. And supposedly, there's paddlefish in there now.
You know, I've heard that.
I haven't seen any. Haven't caught any, but they say they're in there.
I bet they are. There's a lot of paddlefish in the Red River, mm-hmm. down below the Eisenhower Bridge there at Texoma. And a lot of our listeners, I bet, have fished for them. But, Mary, the really neat thing is that you were raised in South Louisiana, mm-hmm. and then you, years back, your dad was an alligator hunter down
mm-hmm.
there, right?
He made his living fishing, hunting, and trapping. And in the 60s, he was coming to Caddo Lake catching the alligators and catching fish, you know, with nets, and then taking them back home. And in 1965, he had to get out of South Louisiana real quick. So he loaded us up and moved us to Caddo Lake. And I met a man here that was raised the same way as we were, uh-huh. making their living fishing, hunting, and trapping. And we've raised our children the same way, fishing, hunting, and trapping. And that's my love. I love being on the bayou. And I love being with people that love being on the bayou and enjoying the nature and the fishing especially. That's my passion, fishing.
Well, you know, if anybody spends 10 minutes around you, that becomes very obvious. And I'm sure all of our listeners, Mary, that are listening to you can probably read between the lines and see that too. Somebody coming down to fish the Big Cypress with you, that's a long run, really, from Jefferson, from the bridge there in Jefferson down to Caddo. I mean, that's probably 20 miles.
About 20 miles before you get into the Caddo Lake area. Mm-hmm. The upper part of the bayou from Jefferson down to Caddo, you don't have the moss as much, but when you start hitting the Caddo Lake area, the trees are just dripping with the gray Spanish moss. You have just different views along the bayou as you go along.
It's awesome, and what can you expect to catch right now? Say a trip, we were coming out tomorrow to fish with you, Mary, and I guess you're going to put in somewhere right there at Jefferson,
mm-hmm.
right?
We'll put in the bayou here at Jefferson, and we'll be going after brim and catfish mainly, and hopefully, you know, some brim. The brim should still be biting some right now.
Yeah,
but anything that'll take our hook.
You bet, and that's the fun part of it, and you can, in other words, you'll be using worms or maybe crickets
worms,
also?
Minnows and crickets right now.
And a lot of people don't realize catfish will take a cricket in a heartbeat on it.
Yeah.
Now, do you catch mostly channel cat or some blues also?
Channel and blue, and occasionally you'll catch a little app, you know, when you're brim fishing for crappie. But we have big apps in here. We have them up to 50 pounds.
Yeah, you know.
But normally that's trout lining. In the spring, we set out trout lines and bait up with brim to catch the big ones.
Right. Well, someone coming down to, just for instance, it's families that you take out, ladies, mm-hmm. men, their kids, whatever, whoever wants to go fishing. And it's the thing is, it's not a, you have to have a lot of knowledge to do it, but to hop in the boat with you, it's not a complicated type fishing, is it?
No, this is R&R fishing, recreational relaxation.
Yep, and in a setting that's just most
beautiful.
Awesome down there.
The bayou is beautiful. It's you have the canopies, the trees, you have the cypress trees and the cypress knees, and you have a lot of wildlife. We see bobcat and beaver and neuter rats and gators in the summertime. We have gators in the bayou, and you can come up on them.
Yeah, you know, we saw some when I was doing my newspaper article there up on the lake, too, and a lot of people don't realize there's a lot of gators in that country.
Oh, especially down on Caddo.
Yeah, down on the lake, right.
In 1965, the biggest one Daddy ever caught, Louisiana Arctic, is he caught on the lower part of the bayou, and it was 14 foot long.
Wow.
That was a big one.
That's an old one, too, wasn't it, Mary? Yeah, you bet. Well, if someone wants to come down and fish with you, we're definitely going to leave the contacts. And folks, our guest here is Mary Rose, and she's a fishing guide down on the Big Cypress, which is right there. If you've ever been to Jefferson, well, you've been over the Big Cypress River. Mary, there's no current down there now, so I'm going to guess you're targeting log jams and mm-hmm. stuff like that in the hole, deeper holes?
In the deep holes. In all of the bends, there are deep holes, and there's a lot of logs and stumps and cypress knees. Just a lot of good places to fish.
Well, will you... When you're going down, do you need to use a trolling motor much, or is that you don't need it?
No, uh-uh.
Just pull up to the brush and
we pull up, or we just drift.
Uh huh. Just drift. Is there any current at all now?
No, but you'll still drift along.
Yep.
You know, you at a slow pace, you'll still just
wind
drift
and whatnot, and the current will move mm-hmm. you along a little bit there. But a mixture. Now, the channel cat, if there is such thing as an average-sized fish that you'd catch, do you catch a lot of what I'd call eater-sized channel, two-pounders, those types?
Oh, yeah, that's what we're after.
Yeah, you bet.
We're trying to keep it legal, no little ones.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, you can catch some pretty nice ones.
Yeah, you can catch them up to 2.5 pounds.
That's the best eating. And then occasionally a blue, maybe a bigger blue.
And occasionally, yeah, we catch a... One of the kids caught one on a brim hook the other day, and it was about a 3-pound blue. That's pretty good for the river.
You bet. Well, Mary, when I got to meet you down there when I was doing the newspaper article, I knew that what you're doing would appeal to a lot of people. Somebody looking for a fun trip, they need to call you. And if they need more information, Mary, about fishing the Cypress River, I'd like you to give your give a phone number where people could give you a call.
Yes, sir. They can call me at 903-665-6609 or cell number 903-932-0437, or they can contact me by email at
gatorgettinggranny@yahoo.com, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've got it written down, Mary. And, folks, that's G-A-T-O-R, Gator Gettin, G-E-T-T-I-N, granny@yahoo.com. Mary, thanks for spending the time with me. I bet you've got fish to catch and some good fun to go have. So hopefully we can get you.
I'm getting my boat ready now. I've got people from Canada coming Wednesday, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, if people do come down, they're going to need lodging, and you say you've got some places right there.
I have 3 rooms available for those that want to stay overnight.
Well, Mary, thanks very much for being our guest today.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much.
Folks, Mr. Larry Wysoon just dropped by, and we're going to talk a couple of minutes about hunting deer. Larry, what else would we talk about, buddy?
Hey, it's that time of the year. Bow season is you still hunt with a bow, but rifle season is right up on us, by golly. And, you know, to me, the best advice you can give to anybody when it comes to go hunting deer is to go hunt. Stay out there in the woods and hunt hard, and if you can, even hunt all day long, because this first early season, like we are right now, these bucks are going to be chasing does, and they're likely to be chasing does throughout the day. So get out there and hunt safely. I think that's the best we can give them.
Man, that's the good advice. And you know, something that you're very good at is using sound to attract deer, and not just rattling antlers, but you can, you know, sounds like the snort, wheeze, and just the grunt call. You can get those deer doing some things that a lot of people wouldn't think possible, can't you? You know,
right? A lot of times, too, you can keep them around, and these old bucks are walking around like now, making a lot of different sounds, but it's mainly just and then, of course, the most challenging sound that you can make to a deer, and a good way to stop a deer generally, most of the time, one or two things will happen when you do a snort wheeze. Either the buck will stop and turn to look at you like an old buck that's on a mission, mm-hmm. or he's going to turn and run. And if you make that sound, it's a snort wheeze, and it's a sound. He's either going to run because he's just been whipped by another buck. He doesn't want anything to do with what's going on, or he's going to stop and turn around and look to see who's challenging him. So a lot of times they'll stop a buck when nothing else will, when he's just kind of on a mission somewhere.
Larry, the snort wheeze is a challenge. Is that what in the whitetail world?
It's a challenge. Generally, when you hear the snort wheeze, it's right before two bucks get into a fight. One will make that sound, and the fight is on, or the other buck will kind of drop, you know, kind of lower his hair and walk away, or after a fight a lot of times too, one of the bucks wins and he chases the other one out there away, he'll chase one away and he'll make that sound, and that's like, hey buddy, if you want some more of me, come back and get me, or is there anybody else out there that think you're tough enough to take me on? So it's a very challenging sound.
You know, it's kind of unique, but I'm probably not the only one that's experienced this, but for years in the woods, you know, I've hunted, raised in northeast Texas, I've been in the woods most of my life, you know. I've heard that sound when I was a youngster, and I heard it up until probably, honestly, Larry, I've never watched but a couple of bucks actually make the sound where I could look at the deer and know that that's where the sound was coming from. But I've heard that sound a lot. And like,
well, yeah. You know, to me, where if you're hunting an area where there are several bucks, you have a chance to hear it. I first heard it when I started first using it back in 1969, which is a long time ago, because when I was at Texas A&M with the Wildlife Disease Project, we had a bunch of deer in our pens, and I'd be out there a fair amount during the time when those bucks were in rut, and I'd see those two bucks come together, and one of them snort wheeze. And when I first started doing that, everybody laughed at me, and which is fine because it accomplished everything I wanted to do, and I care less whether they believe me or not. The deer believed me, and that was the important thing.
Well, they responded and came on in. Well, on rattling, Larry, is there a certain way you start? Do you start light, soft, and then increase in volume, or does that depend on what you hear the deer doing?
What I try to do is I may start soft, and if that works, I'll do it again. If it doesn't, I'll get more aggressive in my rattling, and I'll rattle longer, and I'll rattle several different ways and several different intervals until I start get deer responding. And when I do get response, then I try to repeat that the next time, and I rattle, you know, a little bit farther down the road or something like that. Right now, these bucks are at a high level of testosterone. And because of that, I mean, rattling works regardless where you find whitetail deer, but where it works better is where you got a lot of bucks that can hear you. But too, sometimes rattling works really well in the morning, sometimes really well in the middle of the day, sometimes late in the afternoon. So to me, you know, I'll rattle somewhat all during the day, and because, like I said, I've gone out in the best mornings, I thought, couldn't rattle up anything till about 10 o'clock, and all of a sudden, it's like you flip the switch, and the bucks just, you know, here they came for 2 or 3 hours, and then they shut down again. The next day, it may be real early. Next day, it may be real late. So to me, you just got to keep trying periodically throughout the day.
Well, it makes sense. And if anybody, you know, ever figures out exactly what makes fish and wildlife do what they do, it's developing, it's learning what they're doing on that given day, really, you know, and trying to adapt to it. And that goes for, you know, that definitely goes for fishing as much as it does hunting, too. Larry, thanks very much for being with us, buddy. And, you know, we'll get you back soon. Okay.
You got a deal.
All right, folks, that was
everybody the best.
Thank you, buddy. That was Larry Wysoon, good friend of mine, and you can watch on the Sportsman's Channel on TV, watch A Hunter's Life with Larry. That's on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Till this time next week, be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.